Well, good morning and welcome. Let's get things set up here. That was beautiful hymns that we were singing. And that would be our prayer, that the Lord would open our eyes so that we would see Jesus. I'll try and get all the electronics set up here. All right. Set to go. You know, I was sitting at my computer yesterday morning, just got up and hadn't had breakfast yet, and I said to Ruth, I wonder who's speaking tomorrow. I said, I think it might be Bruce, or no, is it Andrew? So I said, well, maybe I better check. So I went on the list of speakers, and you can see whose name I saw. So it's rather a surprise, but it's interesting that that thought came to me, isn't it? Sure glad that it wasn't this morning. Where do you think that thought came from? I think it was the Spirit of God. You see, the Spirit of God is working in our lives, and not only has He given us spiritual gifts that we're going to be talking about this morning, but I believe that day by day, the Spirit works with us and He gives us little gifts. I think that was a gift, that thought came into my mind. Now, you're not going to read about that one in Romans or 1 Corinthians, but I was thankful that it came to my mind, and I believe that it was really the Spirit that directed that. Now, in our study of spiritual gifts, we're moving along. Just a little recap here to try and tie things together. Last week, when Bruce was speaking to us, he started our discussion of what are referred to as the speaking gifts. When you take the spiritual gifts, you can actually divide them into three categories. And so you have the speaking gifts, which we're going to finish off today. And then you have the serving gifts, which we're going to do over the next two or three weeks. And then we have what are referred to as the sign gifts, and we're going to be spending a couple of weeks on those. But this morning, we're going to be looking at teaching, the gift of teaching, the gift of encouragement, a word of wisdom, and a word of knowledge. And last week, of course, if you were here, you recall that Bruce covered apostleship, prophecy, evangelism, and pastoring. Now, when it comes to the spiritual gifts, and this has already been mentioned, but there are lists of spiritual gifts that are given in the scriptures, and it's interesting just to sort of compare these lists. Now, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about spiritual gifts from verses 8 to 11, and also in verse 28. Now, when it comes to the word of wisdom, this is the only list that we find it in. And you'll notice I have it highlighted there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 8. It says, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. And that's really all the information we have. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. And then also, the word of knowledge. This is the only place where it's listed. And again, in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. And so those two spiritual gifts that we're going to talk a little bit about this morning, basically, this is where they're mentioned in the Word of God. And then you notice that there are many other things that are mentioned as well in that particular list that we haven't covered yet. We have covered prophecy, but I think the rest of them in that list are in the weeks to come, Lord willing. And then in verse 28... you'll notice that it mentions teachers. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 And in verse 28, if you read that particular verse, perhaps we'll just read it together. It says, "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues." And so there's the list then that you get in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, and teachers is mentioned in that one. So those are three that we're going to be discussing this morning. Then, if you were to go to Romans chapter 12, then I have the list here for you as well of the different spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 12. Notice that teaching is there as well. So it's found in 1 Corinthians, and it's also found in Romans chapter 12. And it's also in Romans chapter 12 that we read about the gift of exhortation. So perhaps we'll just read those together as well. Romans chapter 12, and if we begin reading at verse 6, it says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use them in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, and he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." And so that particular list then in Romans chapter 12 comes, is shown there for you. And you notice then that again teaching is mentioned, and this is the only one where the gift of exhortation is mentioned, is in Romans chapter 12. Now, if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, again, you can see the list there that I have up on the screen. And one of the interesting things, again, is that teaching actually comes, or teachers, comes in that list as well. Now, the only other place where you really find the spiritual gifts being referred to is in 1 Peter. And it's interesting that when you go to 1 Peter, he doesn't really give us a list at all, but he actually takes the spiritual gifts and he sort of groups them. And he talks about speaking, and he talks also about service. And so those are found, is the way that Peter refers to them in 1 Peter chapter 4. So those are the different lists. And we're going to be looking then at a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, exhortation, and teaching. That's the order I'm going to do them in. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, exhortation, and teaching. Now, John MacArthur, in his notes, has this to say, and I agree with him. He says that these lists that were given form a palette of basic colors from which God chooses. He selects a unique combination of gifts and a degree of giftedness for each person's life, so that each believer has a distinct hue. Although we share the same categories, no two of us are exactly alike. And what we're going to be doing a little later, I'm not going to be looking at the example right now, but we'll look later at an example of how the gifts that we're discussing today were all displayed in one individual at one particular time. And so it wasn't just that he had the gift of wisdom or the gift of knowledge, although that's a possibility, or a gift of teaching and the gift of exhortation, but he actually displays all of these gifts at the same time. And so God has taken then from this basic list of gifts and he gave them a certain proportion of them. The Spirit gave them to the same individual to make up his spiritual gift. And looking at it that way, they make sense to me. Now, the other thing I think we need to keep in mind as we study these gifts is, and this has been mentioned before, but it's the purpose of spiritual gifts. You know, when we're talking about the gifts that we're going to be talking about today, they're a very public type of gift. But if a person's up teaching, or if they're exhorting other people, and they're doing it for their own purposes, for their own glorification, then you can be sure that it's not really a spiritual gift that they're exercising at all. Because whether we're talking about the gifts that we're discussing today or any of the spiritual gifts, they have a distinct purpose. And the first purpose of the spiritual gifts is that they have to glorify God. If God is not being glorified, then you can rest assured it's not a spiritual gift that's being used or exercised. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and 11 that I mentioned there, Peter says this. He says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And so any spiritual gift, its purpose is that God may be glorified. But then a second purpose of spiritual gifts is to edify or to build up the body of Christ. And Paul, in writing to the Ephesians in chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12, he says this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. And that's the purpose. That's a purpose of spiritual gifts. That's why we're given these gifts by the Spirit of God. And then there is a third purpose as well, and that is to lead souls to Christ. And that purpose we're going to see clearly when we take a quick look at Acts chapter 2, but we're not going to do that just for a few moments. And so as we look at these four different spiritual gifts, then we need to keep that in mind, that this is the purpose of all spiritual gifts. Now let's look at each one individually. Now first of all, we have a word of wisdom. Now here's what I believe this means. This is a God-given ability to understand God's word, and for you and I today, it would be his written word. It was different back in the days of the early church when God was actually speaking to the apostles. The scriptures hadn't been written, and he was doing it through his Spirit directly. But for you and I, we have the complete canon of scripture. We have the complete word of God. And so for us today, it would be the ability to understand God's written word and his will, and to apply that understanding to daily life. You know, as you think back in your experience, try to think of someone who you would say had the gift of a word of wisdom, a special gift from God. Now, you know, when I was thinking of this with the word of wisdom, you know, it kind of reminded me of the old man on the mountain. You know, have you seen, you know, comic strips and that of some poor guy and he's climbing the mountain. And up on the top of the mountain sits the old guru. And he's got all the answers. Well, that's not really what it's all about. But I believe that somebody who has been given this spiritual gift, first of all, they'll have a deep understanding of God's word. And so it's a gift that will have been developed. But then not only do they have a deep understanding of God's word, but they show wisdom as they apply God's word in daily life. And this might be the type of individual that if you had a question or a problem that you're facing, and you're thinking, "Now, I'd like to get some godly advice on this," then you would go to that individual. Because they're able to take the word of God and wisely apply it. They give you wise counsel. They wisely apply it to daily life. And perhaps you can think of someone in your life and you would say, "Yeah, that person fits that description." You know, I can think of some, and I'm going to mention one. And that was my good friend Ernie Sarlo, who's actually Andrew's dad. But you know, as I was a younger Christian, if I had concerns, if I had questions about the Bible, if I was facing something in life and I wasn't sure which way to turn and really what the Bible would say about that, then my advisor was Ernie. I would go to him. And you know what? Every time I went to him, he gave me godly advice. And he had wisdom in doing it. He just displayed that. And so, from my point of view, he is one, and there are others as well, in my life that I would say had a spiritual gift of wisdom. And so, a word of wisdom. You know, as I was thinking of a word of wisdom, I was thinking of it this way as well. And this here might not exactly be the spiritual gift of a word of wisdom, but it is something that I'm very thankful for. And I believe it's a way that the Spirit of God works. It's sort of like, and you can relate it perhaps this way, to natural life. You've heard stories of individuals, and maybe they're out with their friend or whatever, and an accident occurs. Maybe it's a tree branch falls on their friend, a great big, huge tree branch. And so this little scrawny guy that's out there with him walks over to this tree branch, grabs a hold of it, and lifts it off him, and places it so that his friend is freed from under that branch. And then a little while later, he thinks, well, I should move that again. And so the same little guy goes over to the tree branch, and he goes down to the tree branch, and he gets it, and he goes, and he can't even budge it. What happened? Did he just get weak? Not eat his Wheaties? No, I think what happened was he didn't have the shot of adrenaline. You see, God has worked that into our natural makeup. That we're in a special situation, we get that shot of adrenaline. And so it's like a special gift for that very moment. And we lift up that tree and we move it. But in an ordinary situation, we say, how did I ever do that? Have you ever had that experience? Where somebody might come to you and they might be facing a problem in life, or perhaps you're facing a problem in life. And even when you know that this person is coming and they're asking you for advice and you're thinking, oh, well, how am I ever going to answer this? How am I ever going to give them advice on this? And so then you say, oh, I'll pray about it. And so you commit it to the Lord, and the person arrives, and all of a sudden this thought comes to your mind, this advice comes to your mind, and so you give it to the individual, and it's just the advice that they need, and they say that to you. They'll say, it's just what I needed. And afterwards, after they're gone, you think, I don't know where that came from. How did I ever think of that? How did I ever come up with that advice? Well, you know what I think it is? I think it's the Spirit of God giving us the wisdom that we need for the moment that we need it. And I don't know, but if I'm in that situation and I'm the guy that's being asked for the advice, I think of that as a gift from God. And I thank him for that gift because he has given it to me just at the time I need it. Now, whether that, I know everybody's not going to think that's the spiritual gift of wisdom, but it's a gift of wisdom that I have accepted and received from God, and I'm thankful for it. And so, a word of wisdom. Now, the next one is a word of knowledge. Now, it's a little different. Now, here's a definition of what it means for a word of knowledge. It's the ability to understand God's truth and insight into the mysteries of his word that cannot be known apart except by the revelation of the Spirit. The ability to understand God's word and insight into the mysteries of his word that cannot be known apart from the revelation of the Spirit. the gift of knowledge. I think one of our best examples of someone who displayed the gift of knowledge would be the Apostle Paul. You remember how that Paul was saved on the road to Damascus? That's when he met the Lord. That's when he had his sins forgiven. That's when he started to follow Jesus of Nazareth. But then, very soon afterwards, without consulting with other believers, without consulting with the other apostles, without reading books, without going to Bible school, without doing any of those things, the Apostle Paul went out and he preached to the Gentiles, and he saw all kinds of Gentiles brought to the Lord, and he explained truths to them, things about God, things about the Lord Jesus. He was displaying the spiritual gift of knowledge. He was explaining to them truths that could not be known apart from the revelation of the Spirit. So what about though today? What about the gift of knowledge? You know, as I was trying to think about this, and, you know, it always helps me if I can relate things a little bit to what I know and try to come up with an example. And I remember when I was in university a few years ago, but I still remember it, and I had a professor, a mathematics professor, and his name was Professor Tutt, right? Like, it almost sounds like out of the movies, but Professor Tutt. And actually, Professor Tutt was a very brilliant man. He actually, in the Second World War, he actually was part of the team that intercepted German secret messages and decoded them. So this guy was brilliant. But this guy, when he was teaching the course that I took, he had no textbook. He was making it up. Right? He was writing the textbook at the time. So it was all this mathematical theory, and he was making it, like, he was generating it. Can you imagine? I can't do that. But he was doing it. In the world of mathematics, he had the gift of knowledge. Now, that's not a spiritual gift in the world of mathematics, but you see what I mean? He had that ability to understand things that had never been written before. You see, I didn't. I mean, I'm pretty good at mathematics, if I have to say so myself. But the only way I know mathematics is because I learned what other people wrote. You see, there's a difference. I had the ability to read the books and understand what they were saying and then learn, hey, why this applies. But I tried all my life to come up with my own theorem. I thought it would be so neat before I retired to come up with a theorem that all students and future generations would say, oh, the Nicholson theorem. You know, and they just sort of grit their teeth and say, oh, who was this old guy anyway? That we have to study this. But unfortunately, never happened. Never happened. I didn't have that ability. But, you know, getting back to the gift of knowledge in a spiritual sense, you know, I have a set of books at home that were written by Charles Spurgeon. Now, I don't know whether you've ever seen Spurgeon's books, but this set of books, just to give you a little idea, each book is about that thick. Height-wise, it's about like that. Width-wise, it's about like that. And I forget exactly, but he's got about 12 books in it. Now, Spurgeon lived a long time ago. But he sat down and he studied God's word. And through the help of the Spirit of God, he was given the ability to write those 12 books. Like, wouldn't you say that type of person, I mean, he must have had the gift of knowledge. A special ability to look into God's word and into the mysteries of God's word and have the Spirit of God work with him and reveal to him things that perhaps if I was reading it, well, no perhaps about it, if I was reading it, I wouldn't see it at all. But he saw it because he had this special gift. And then there's others as well. There are some writers, I can't even hardly read their book because I get to the bottom of the page and I'm not sure what they're talking about. There's another one, William Kelly. Anybody in here read William Kelly? Put your hand up. See how popular? But you know what? That guy was brilliant. Brilliant man. Understood the mysteries of God. Wrote books. But he must have had that special gift, which is referred to in the scriptures as a word of knowledge. Now, there is one interesting verse that people might be wondering if I'm going to touch, associated with knowledge, the gift of knowledge. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. So if you'd like to turn to that verse, I just want to say a couple of things about it, and then we'll move on to exhortation. First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. It says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Now here's the part that I'm interested in. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. So what's it talking about there? When it says, whether there is knowledge, and it's talking about the gifts, so the gift of knowledge, or knowledge, it will vanish away. And then it tells us when it's going to happen. It says, when that which is perfect has come, verse 10, then that which is in part will be done away. So would we be able to say then that perhaps today the spiritual gift of knowledge is no more, that it has been done away with, that it's vanished away? I don't think we can, because I personally don't think that which is perfect has come yet. Now, people have interpreted this many different ways. Some have interpreted it to be the finished written scripture. So if you interpret it that way, then you would say it has come. But even though we have the finished word of God, I don't believe that we're living in perfect times yet. I don't believe that which is perfect has really come yet. Because I don't think I have to convince you things are not perfect. And then could it refer to when the Lord Jesus comes back again to receive the church unto himself? And again, he's perfect and he's coming, but after he comes, things won't be perfect. In fact, they'll be worse than they've ever been. That's the tribulation period. Well, could it refer to the millennium? Because that's when there's going to be peace and Christ is going to reign and it's going to look like a perfect time. But you know what? When the millennium ends, things are going to be as bad as they ever were. Sin is going to reign again. I believe that when that which is perfect has come is actually referring to the eternal state. Then things will be perfect. And then we will no longer have the need for a word of knowledge because we will have perfect understanding. So we won't need it then. And so that's how I look at that particular verse. And there could be others that look at it differently. That's fine with me, but that's how I look at that particular verse. Now, let's move on to exhortation. Now, with exhortation is the ability to effectively call others to obey and follow God's truth. Now, if somebody has the gift of exhortation, it can actually be used and looked at in two different ways. It can be looked at positively, and it can be looked at negatively. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, Timothy is told to do this by the Apostle Paul. He says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. So there the idea of exhortation is the idea of rebuking somebody. And you know, sometimes you and I need that type of exhortation. You know, sometimes we can be going in a direction which is not right. It can actually be a direction that's leading to disaster. It can be something that's not according to God's word at all. And the person that has the gift of exhortation would be the type of person that would come alongside us lovingly and tenderly tell us about the error of our ways and show us from the Word of God the right direction to take. And you know what? If you've had someone do that for you, then I can tell you that even though at the time it might have kind of got your back up, and you might have thought, well, who does he think or who does she think she is? But you know, afterward, when you sit back and you think about it, you say, that person really cared about me. And they came to me. And they directed me. They exhorted me to go in the right direction. And so exhortation can have that type of connotation. It can also have the other, where it's a positive, where we're exhorting one another, we're encouraging one another to do something that's good, and perhaps you see somebody doing something that's good, and so you exhort them to keep going and keep at it and don't give up. And so we have that type of thing mentioned to us in Hebrews chapter 10, where the writer to the Hebrews says, let us consider one another in order to stir up or to exhort to love and good works. It says, Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much more as we see the day approaching. And so exhortation, and people, there are some people that have that special ability given to them by the Spirit of God so that they're able to encourage people and people will listen to them. You know, there's others that try it and they're like a bull in a china shop. You know, they just blow it. Just their mannerism and the way they try to do it. Instead of encouraging the person, they discourage. Well, then they'd likely say to themselves, I don't have the gift of exhortation. But there are others that are very good at it. And it's like God has given them a special ability to do that. Well, let's move on to teaching. Now, teaching is the ability to interpret, clarify, and explain the Word of God using a language that people understand. Now, something I was just looking for here. Get the right sheet here. When it comes to teaching, and I mean, naturally, I've been involved in teaching all my life. But the gift of teaching is not just a natural ability. It's a God-given ability where a person is able to take God's word and when the congregation is listening, he's able to interpret it and he can explain it and he uses a language that they can understand. And his method of presentation would be one that keeps people's attention. I mean, these are characteristics of somebody that would have the gift of teaching. And I have listened to some men, and they have the ability to take God's word. And I remember one person in particular, he's actually from BC. His last name was Mr. Richards. And I've listened to him occasionally. And he had the ability, he could just take a chapter in the Word of God, and he would just go down it, and he could go through it verse by verse. And he would keep your attention. He wasn't dry. He'd keep your attention. And he could explain it in such a way. And you could look at that verse and you'd say, I never knew what that meant. Now I do. And then he'd move on to the next one. And he kept your, and he used language that you would understand. He was a teacher. He was somebody that had the gift of teaching. Now, as I mentioned, when it comes to these gifts, some individuals seem to possess them all. They have all those abilities. And I believe that one of the greatest examples that we have in Scripture that I just want you to take a quick look at is actually found in Acts chapter 2. And I think they're all displayed there in the Apostle Peter. Now, think of that. Now, Peter wasn't a trained teacher. He didn't go to North Bay to Teachers College, you know, or any of the teachers' colleges. Peter was actually a fisherman. Now, if you'd have talked to Peter before he met the Lord and told him he was going to be doing what he did in Acts chapter 2, then Peter would have told you you were crazy. There was no way. Remember, he's just a fisherman. I don't think he had a university degree. In fact, he likely didn't even have a high school certificate. He was just an ordinary fisherman. But you take the time this afternoon to read his message when he spoke to the people on the day of Pentecost. And you see for yourself that he used wisdom. And he had tremendous knowledge. He was quoting the Old Testament scriptures. He was telling them about the Lord Jesus. You look at some of the quotes that he has in there. Like from verse, in his sermon, from verse 17 down to verse 21. That's a quote from the Old Testament. Talk about the gift of knowledge. And teaching, the people knew exactly what he was saying. And then when he got down to the end, towards the end of his sermon, then he exhorted them. He encouraged them to turn to Christ. And so I think if you read that, you're going to see that there's an individual that had a nice blend of all these gifts that we're talking about today. They were all blended together in that one individual. Another thing I want to mention to you about the gifts that we've been talking about today is that these are gifts that have to be developed. Like, I don't believe that, a person gets saved. They're indwelt by the Spirit of God. And then, the moment that they're saved, they're going to be given the gift of teaching. So that the next day they can stand up and they can tell you about the feasts of Jehovah and all of the intricacies associated with those feasts and exactly what they mean, how they apply to Christ, and what they mean for you and I today. That's not going to happen. These are gifts that need to be developed. You see, even Timothy was told to not neglect the gift that was in him. And he was told by the apostle another time to stir up the gift that was in him. He had to develop it. And if you and I are going to show wisdom, if we're going to show the gift of knowledge, if we're going to be able to exhort somebody or to teach, the number one criteria that's necessary for that is we have to know what we're talking about. We have to have the knowledge. We have to know God's word. If you're not studying God's word, then I can guarantee you, you are not going to be displaying the gifts that we're talking about this morning. These are not gifts that come easily. These are not gifts that can be developed easily, These are gifts that are going to be developed over time, and they're going to take a lot of work. I remember my dear father-in-law, Mr. Norris. And this was another man that I could mention that, as far as I'm concerned, he had a nice blend of all these gifts. He was an excellent Bible teacher. But I almost thought of bringing his Bible to you this morning and opening it up. And if I was to show you his Bible, you can hardly read it. There are so many notes written in that book. Because he spent countless hours poring over the book and studying it, so that he would be able to help and build up the people of God. You're not going to develop these gifts watching TV. You're not going to develop these gifts working overtime and putting your time into the things of this life. And I'm as guilty as anybody else. But we need to get into the Word of God. Nothing more important than this Word. I'm so thankful that the name of this particular church is not just Bethel Chapel. I'm glad that it's Bethel Bible Chapel, because there's nothing more important than the Bible. We don't want to take the Bible out. We need to know it, and we need to know it well, and then we can use these gifts. And just one last thing about these gifts. It's a very serious thing for those who would have these gifts. Because in James says this, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." That's scary. It's a scary thing to teach God's word, because there's a lot of responsibility. It's not an easy thing to stand up here on a Sunday morning and to speak to an audience such as you, dear people. Because in an audience like this, there are so many needs. And God We look to God to help us as we speak in order to meet those needs. And yet there are so many. Well, I've gone 5 overtime, sorry. But anyway, I'm finished. And I hope you enjoyed it. So what we will do is we'll close in prayer. And I'm not sure. Are you speaking next week, Andrew? Yeah, you sure now? You better check when you get home. I always have that fear that I'm going to get here some Sunday morning, look at the bulletin. Uh-oh. But anyway, let's close in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for those that we can think of in our life who have displayed these gifts that we're talking about this morning. Help each one of us to be students of the Word of God. Help each one of us to learn your word well so that when times come that we need wisdom, we're able to draw upon your word. When times come that we need biblical knowledge, we will know your word to rely upon that knowledge and to be able to teach others and exhort others and to build each other up. We're thankful for each one who is here this morning, and we pray now for your blessing as we separate. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.